Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas and welcome to our Christmas Day celebration. What a joy to see all of you here braving that chilly weather, coming into a beautiful warm building and meeting beautiful warm people. So Merry Christmas and the Lord bless you as you come to worship with us this morning. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it reads, "For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." That is who we've come to worship, to celebrate this morning. This is a prophecy of what was coming, of who is coming. Today we celebrate because he has come, and so we celebrate one of the greatest gifts of all time. And yeah, you probably, lots of you run wrapped your presents. I'm going to wait a little bit till after lunch, so if you want to stick around and watch me open my presents. My wife put them here, and I couldn't find them at home. Actually, there's nothing in them, but they do look pretty. But it is to remind us of the greatest gift that was ever given, the greatest gift, and that is Jesus Christ. Linda, would you come up this morning and read Scripture for us?
Luke 2, 1 to 20. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." I love this next part. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and a baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told."
So again, welcome here, family, friends, guests. Thank you for choosing to come and worship this morning with us. What an exciting time of year, absolutely. And Christmas Day is one of those days where we wait, we anticipate. We anticipate with eagerness. We are excited about those gifts that we have asked for, that perfect gift. I don't know what yours is this year, but there's probably something on your mind that you would consider the perfect gift. And at this point, maybe you didn't receive it or you did receive it. And so, but maybe you received something else that was, that met your expectation or exceeded your expectation. We taught during the weeks following up to Christmas, we spend time thinking about that gift. And in fact, we can even imagine ourselves. I remember when I was a kid, there were some of the gifts that I would even imagine myself already playing with it, or whatever the case may be, wearing it or doing with it, whatever. There was such an anticipation that we had already, I would already, prepare my heart. And so sometimes there was a little bit of a disappointment when, okay, I didn't get quite that, but okay, well, this is good too. But there's a lot of anticipation that goes in the morning and so, or into the presents, even in the morning, Christmas morning, or whenever you open your presents, maybe we're disappointed because we didn't get what we wanted, or maybe we got what we wanted, but But we realize it's not all it's cracked up to be. Those commercials can be misleading, I find. That thing that is so cool and so awesome really was nothing but an advertising gimmick. But what do we do with all those thoughts and anticipation? One of the greatest gifts that my wife ever received was not from me. But it was about 21 years ago, it's almost 21 years ago now, that she received one of the greatest gifts in her life, for her life. It not only impacted her, but it impacted me, the greatest gift that she ever received, one of the greatest gifts she ever received. That was when her dad gave her the gift of life. When he gave her one of his kidneys. What an absolutely amazing gift. It totally changed her quality of life. It changed her quality of life from somebody who was absolutely sick, without energy, without strength, without power to even get up, without the ability or even desire to eat to gain strength. There was no strength, there was no energy. In fact, there was a feeling of helplessness and hopelessness that came inside of her. But quite literally, he gave her the gift of life, and it changed her from no energy to having energy, to being energized, to feeling well, to being able to, wanting to do things. What a huge change. What a drastic change it was. Quite literally, he gave her the gift of life. Someone asked George, that's Pat's dad, he said, was it a hard decision to give your daughter one of your kidneys, knowing that there is some risk involved? There's always risk involved when you go under anesthetic. There's always risk involved when you go under surgery. There's always risk involved when you get rid of one of your kidneys. What will happen to the other one? Will it be able to function? Will it be able to keep up? So there is some risk. So somebody asked him, was it a hard decision, George, knowing all this, to give your daughter a kidney? And he said, not at all. In fact, it wasn't really much of a thought at all. When you have the chance to be able to give your daughter life, a new lease on life, a better quality of life, it really isn't a choice, but it's something you simply do. Because she is your daughter, and you love her dearly, and there is nothing that you wouldn't do for your daughter. This will be a different year coming up, because every year up until this point, Pat has been able to phone her dad on that day, on the anniversary date of the greatest gift she, one of the greatest gifts she received, and say thank you. Thank you, Dad, for giving me this gift of life. It was a special time. It was a special bond between them. Praise God that in spite of the hardship of this year and losing a father, praise God he is with his Creator. He is with Jesus today. He is celebrating the greatest gift ever given to mankind with Jesus himself. Praise God. Are we sad? Do we mourn that passing? Absolutely. But we rejoice because of the greatest gift that he ever received. There's a unique bond between a daughter and a father. Pat always jokes around that her age is a little bit deceiving because her dad was 70-some years old. So part of her is 70-some years old and the rest of her is, I'm not going to tell you the rest of her age. I want to enjoy a Merry Christmas. But she's saying, you know, if you take those averages, it does inflate her age a little bit. So 29 is perfect. I love you. And but that is the gift of an earthly father. These are the lengths that an earthly father will go to for his child, without a thought given to it. George, was this a hard decision? Absolutely, there was no thought involved. If I am able, I will do it. But one of the important things that had to happen is her dad stepped up to the plate and he said, "You can have my kidney. I'm going to give you my kidney." But something had to happen in order for Pat to be able to reap the benefits of a healthy kidney. Something had to happen, and she had to say, "Yes, Dad, I will receive the gift that you want to give to me." I will receive that gift that you want to give to me. Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind as we go along, and we'll draw parallels and give us a deeper appreciation for the greatest gift anyone could ever give and the greatest gift anyone could receive. Last week I started, and I'll wrap up a little bit this week. But I'm going to start with a point. Understanding the fall is necessary to understanding and appreciation and appreciating the necessity of the promised deliverer. And that's where we began last week. Understanding the fall is necessary to understanding and appreciating the necessity of the promised deliverer. Pat understood very well her necessity for her to be delivered from the illness that she had. She understood the necessity of that. So we begin in Genesis, because this is where the need for the baby Jesus originated. This is where the need for the whole aspect of needing a deliverer, of needing a savior, began way back in Genesis already. So it's important. Adam and Eve had a death issue, they had a sin issue, and they had eternal consequences. There were eternal consequences to the issue, the illness, to the disease that they had. It was sin, it was death, separation from God for all of eternity. That's where they were headed. They were headed to the lake of fire for all of eternity because of the consequences of their sin. They were helpless to do anything about their situation. Adam and Eve fell into sin, and last week I had the egg. I had Humpty Dumpty here, and we talked about that, how he fell, and there was a problem when he fell on that plate. There was nothing that Humpty Dumpty could do. Not all the wise men in the world, the king's wisest men, the wealthiest men, there was nothing that they could do to put that egg back together again. And it's the same condition. It's the same condition we find Adam and Eve in. There is absolutely nothing that they can do in their broken situation. They are forever separated from God, destined to an eternity in the lake of fire, complete absence from God. This wasn't God's desire to see mankind go to the lake of fire and spend eternity in torment, in anguish. That was not his desire. Look at all the things that he created mankind with. Look at all the things that he created for Adam and Eve in the garden. Does that seem like a God who would want to punish somebody eternally in the lake of fire? Absolutely not. His desire was to have a perfect relationship with Adam and Eve, unaffected by sin in any way, shape, or form, providing for their every need, having them be dependent on him for their every need. But God didn't, you see, God, they had the fall, they were broken, they were at the bottom of the of feeling helpless and hopeless. But God didn't leave them there. In fact, he pursued them right after they sinned. He pursued them in the garden and he called out to them, Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? Why is he doing this? Because he knows what they have done. This is a God who knows everything. Do you think that he did not know where Adam and Eve were? He is a God who knows everything. He absolutely knew where they were, but he was pursuing them to give them an opportunity to come in repentance to him. God pursued them right there after they had sinned. And he finds them, God finds them, and they, in their feeble attempt to clothe themselves. If you remember the account in Genesis, how they had sewn fig leaves together to make garments for themselves, and then they hid. This was their feeble attempt to hide their shame, to cover their sin. But it wasn't adequate. It wasn't acceptable to a holy God. A holy God could not accept sinful man's idea of what reconciliation to God looks like. How can a sinful person be able to make reconciliation to a holy God? Impossible. But let's continue as we look at this. This God of love. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, it says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. God provides the covering that is acceptable to him. And what does he do? What does he do? He goes and takes one of his own creation that he has created perfect. Because if you go through the account in Genesis, in creation, when he created, and it was good. It was perfect. It was without flaw. It could not be made better. And God takes one of those, the creation, that lamb, that animal, And he kills that lamb, and blood is shed, and from the skin he makes a garment to clothe him. That is a loving God. Whom the very people that he had created in his own image had sinned against him, were disobedient to his word, and yet he pursues them. But not only does he pursue them to ream them out, to deal with them, to punish them. You know, when your kid has done something wrong, there's a rock through the window, or there's a scratch on the car, or there's whatever. Where are you, kid? Right? That's what we want to do. Sometimes we do that. Come here, I'm going to deal with you. We're going to talk about this now. Well, what does God do first and foremost? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God pronounces, first of all, he pronounces judgment on Satan because Satan deceived him. And he offers incredible hope to Adam and Eve by a promise to deliverer. I'm going to send a deliverer. And not only does he promise to send a deliverer, but Eve, fallen Eve, he is going to be a descendant of you. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring or seed and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. The seed of the woman is Eve, spoken of here. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we are celebrating. So this is speaking to, prophesying about this Jesus that was born in Bethlehem 4,000 years later. The seed of the woman Eve, Jesus, was bruised in his heel, and it was a horrific bruising. But that is nothing compared to the final bruising of the serpent's head. This was practically done when Jesus took away sin and vanquished death and broke the power of Satan, but it will be completely finished at our Lord's second advent in the day of judgment, when Satan will be bound up and thrown in the lake of fire forever. In Genesis 3:15, God promises Adam and Eve, whom he lovingly created with his hands, he promises to save them from that terrible death, that terrible separation from himself, brought on by their sin. Not anything that God did, but brought on by their sin. He is going to provide a way for them to be walk in unity again. So what does that mean to us? It falls to all of us, because as we talked about last week, we are all descendants of Adam and Eve. If you go to Genesis 3:20, it says that the very name Adam gave to Eve was because she would, Eve itself means because she's the mother of all living. Acts 17:26 says that from one man, Adam, he made every man that should inhabit the earth. So where do we all come from? From Adam and Eve. In Romans 5 verse 12, again it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. So we all find ourselves born outside the garden. We have a sin issue. We have that death issue. And it is critical to understand the condition that we are born into in order to understand the significance of this baby boy. The significance of this boy that was born to a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit, who is now the Savior of the world. To all of those who come by repentance and faith. It's important to understand the great lengths that God went to for you, for myself. It's important for us to remember that, the great lengths that he went to. It is important for us to understand the condition that we were come from in order to be able to celebrate fully and appreciate the greatest gift of all, this son Jesus, who would go to the cross, he would die for our sins, and he would rise again, defeating sin, Satan, and death. That is what we are celebrating. We need to remember this. We need to celebrate this often. It was never his intent for us to live in sin. But God is a holy God, and he cannot tolerate sin. Something had to be done. But he doesn't leave us there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 says, for God has not destined us for wrath. You see, that was not God's original intent. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. We see his purpose for Jesus coming to this earth because we needed a Savior. We needed saving. There was a death issue. There was a sin issue. God loves mankind so much, and he is willing to go to incredible lengths to not just provide a better quality of life, but to give us new life. I am a new creation. These old things have passed away. Behold, I have become new. I am a new creation. We have a new life. We are alive to God and dead to sin. Eternal life with him now and forever throughout all eternity. So we know the condition we are born into as sinners separated from God, destined for the lake of fire. What the world doesn't understand, what we seem to maybe diminish to a certain degree, is what hell really is. The eternal torment and anguish that will happen there. Sometimes we minimize that. And I believe Satan is deceiving us into thinking, as he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, he's deceiving us into thinking that it's something made up, that it's something not real. But it is very real, my friends. It is very real. The anguish and torment. In fact, the demons understand all too well exactly what is coming. In fact, they tell Jesus on occasion, what are you doing here? Is this the time? This isn't the time. This isn't the appointed time, is it? Because they're terrified because they know what's coming. But we diminish that. And Jesus gave us the greatest gift to avoid that, because he knows and understands what that will be. And he gave us the greatest gift. And as we look at it, as we look through, in fact, even in the scripture that Linda read, do people need authenticate this coming of Jesus? In the opening verses of Luke chapter 2, it sets the whole story, the whole account in history. When Quirinius was ruler. It's set in history. Historically, we can believe this. This is not a myth. His son was miraculously conceived. But the whole story around it, the whole account around his birth is absolutely amazing when you see the great lengths that God went to bring us the greatest gift because of the greatest need for all of mankind. He took an angel. He sent an angel. Angels are God's messengers. We read in the scriptures, angels are God's messengers. And so God sent an angel to the shepherds. And he tells them exactly what happened. What is happening? This is going on. This is happening. He said, go see for yourself. You will know by these signs that this is Jesus. That this is the significance of this birth. These are the great lengths that God is going to for the greatest gift of all of mankind. And he announces the birth of his son, the Savior of the world. When people are having children, it's an exciting time, right? In our congregation, when somebody has a child, it's an exciting time. And there's a big gift, and big announcement, birth announcement. We had a child, baby boy, baby girl, two baby boys, two baby girls, a boy and a girl at the same time, twins, wow. And it's exciting. It's an absolute exciting time. But they announce the birth of that child because it is absolutely exciting. And God does the same. This is exciting. And he announces it to people, to different types of people. Because this message is for all of mankind. Because all of mankind needs this greatest gift. Luke chapter 2, 10 to 11 says, I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all people. This great news, this birth announcement is for all people. It's exciting. Verse 11. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Wow, is there any more exciting news than that? What did the shepherds do when they went back to the fields? They were rejoicing. They were absolutely rejoicing in what they had seen and heard. It was a celebration. It was an absolute celebration. This is hope. Jesus is the hope that each one of us needs in the condition that we are born into. I believe this is speaking to each one of us. We are all in need of saving. And so this verse is speaking to all of mankind. To you, there is a Savior born to save you from eternal damnation. God wanted to get that message out there that there is hope for each one of us. God wanted us to know about it. He's not hiding the fact that there is a Savior. He's getting it out for all of mankind. There is a cure. In fact, if we were to look at this in some human terms, when I'm looking at this over this last week or so, and I think of, you know, we're in need of a transplant. We're more than that. We're beyond that. We're in need of a new life, a whole new life. And there is a cure available. We have this condition. We are all born into this condition. And outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a sin issue and we have a death issue. But there is a cure. There is a cure. And it's available to each one of us because of God's love for each and every person. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give it to you to the full. I have come to heal you from your sin condition. I have come to give you eternal life. It's not saying that it's going to be a perfect life without issues, without sickness, without those things, because that's really a result of the fall. But I have come to give you life. You have a death issue. You are dying. And I have come to give you that life. And then I love Romans 8 verse 1. Because before this, before we become a believer, there is a condition. We have a sin issue. We stand condemned before God Almighty. But Romans chapter 8 verse 1, I believe, says, There is now no longer any condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I no longer stand sick before God Almighty. I no longer stand condemned. The wrath of God is no longer put on me because He sent His Son as the greatest gift of all time to be the Savior of the world, to take the wrath for my sin on Himself. His wrath for our sin, the payment for our sin, for my sin, has been paid in full by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But there is a choice to make. The choice has been left up to each one of us. If you're a believer here, then you have made that choice. If you're not a believer here, then you do have a choice to make. Very similar to the choice that Adam and Eve had to make in the garden. Their choice was, Adam and Eve, do you want to live in a perfect relationship, in a perfect world that has no sin in it, no effects of sin in it, and live in a perfect relationship with God Himself, trusting God Almighty for absolutely everything, or you have another choice, and that is to trust yourself, a created being. They had a choice to make. Eat from the tree of life and live. Eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and die. What did God tell them? If you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Choosing to live independent of God, choosing Satan as ruler and master. So my wife had a choice to make as well. Do you want to live? I don't think it was ever presented to her this way. But do you want to live? Do you want to have a better quality of life? You have a choice to make, or don't you? What do you want to do? Now, I believe every last one of us here today, if she would even say, well, I have to think about that. you would shake your head. It's like, really? You have to think about that? You are going to be given the opportunity to have life, to have an abundant life, to live without live with energy, live with the desire for the hope, all those things. We would think she was absolutely crazy. Well, Dad, no, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, no, that looks good. It looks promising. Yeah, there's a very high rate that I'm going to have a good quality of life. There's a very good chance that I won't be puking every morning. There's a very good chance that I'll have energy. But you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to do this on my own. What? Are you kidding me? You see, she was unable to do anything about the condition that she was in. Her health had deteriorated to the point where there was nothing that she could do to give her a better quality of life, to make her healthier. There was only one way to live, and that was to accept this gift that her dad was giving her. It would seem absolutely ridiculous and absurd for her to say, no thanks. Sometimes people say, well, it's a trick. I don't want to make that decision because it's going to rob me of some joy. It's going to rob me of some pleasures. I'm not going to be able to do my own thing. You're not doing your own thing. You're here today and you're using that line that I can't do my own thing. I want to do my own thing. You're not doing your own thing. In fact, you're living under the bondage of Satan. You're not free at all. It's not a trick. It is a reality. Help is right here. This Jesus we celebrate, he came to provide us with life. And what are we saying? If you aren't in the position today, if you have not become a Christian, if you haven't come by repentance and faith in the death and the blood of Jesus Christ as payment for your sin, what are you doing? Isn't that as ridiculous as saying to my wife, don't take the transplant? Yeah, there's good for you. Don't wait any longer to accept this gift of life. That's what we celebrate. The gift of eternal life is right in front of you. We simply come by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave me life. He rescued me from eternity in a lake of fire. Worship team, why don't you come up as we celebrate in our last closing songs? Because one of the things that we are celebrating, and I call it a celebration because as much as some of that it seems like doom and gloom, there is the other side of all of this, and there is the side of that once you have received this Jesus Christ, once you have acknowledged that this gift was from God, and this gift that Jesus sent to the earth has gone to the cross. This happened over 2,000 years ago that he was born. And so he has already gone to the cross. He has already paid for our sins. He has already given us that hope. We have something to celebrate this Christmas. We have something to celebrate not only on Christmas, but every day of the year. Really. But we take this one time of the year to celebrate the greatest gift of ever. There is, in fact, one of the things we talked about is sometimes we open our presents and there's an aspect of disappointment. There's an aspect of that we didn't get what we wanted. Well, I will tell you this, that there is no disappointment in Jesus Christ. You will never come up short. You will never be disappointed what he has for you. Yes, like I said before, he doesn't offer us a life without trouble, without pain and without suffering. But he does promise to walk with us through that pain and suffering, to give us peace. We have the hope inside of that. those things that we go through, through those challenges, we have something to celebrate. And my prayer is for each one of us, if you have already received that gift, then this is truly a time of celebration for us. If you have not, then I pray that you would seriously consider today, right where you are, coming by repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and celebrating his birth and receiving the greatest gift ever known to mankind. Let's just pray. Father God, oh, we thank you. We thank you that you are an all-knowing God, that you foresaw the need that mankind would have. We thank you that you are a loving God and that you didn't leave us in our sinful condition, in the condition that we were separated from God, but you provided a Redeemer. You provided your one and only Son to redeem us from our sin. Oh, Father, we thank you for that. We worship you because of what you have given to us, the greatest gift ever given to mankind. Father, we thank you for that. We rejoice in that. We rejoice in the relationship that we can have with you, oh, Holy God. Thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit, to empower us, to teach us, to correct us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are willing and understood our needs so well. God, we give you all the praise and glory and pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.